Welcome to the November 20th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, folks, I really want to start things off by saying thank you. Thank you very much for your interest and listening to this podcast every week. Last season, the podcast was getting about 1,500 downloads. This season, absolutely blown up. Last week was our biggest week, over 5,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank you so much for your interest in this. Thank you. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. I'm glad you enjoy the content. I hope it only continues to get better. The goal of this is really to put a lot of information in your hands, mostly educational for betting. You know, it's one thing to do the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. That's one play. It's in, it's over, it's done. But hopefully the education is what you take forward. The goal here is trying to get you to be a better bettor. And it's not an easy task. I went through it back when I started out. I was fighting myself. You know, it's really a difficult process to accept a lot of betting realities. But once you do, it's awesome. The messages that come into the Sharp Plays from guys going, you know, I used to suck at bankroll management, or I used to suck at picking games, or I used to suck at this or that. And the education has brought them around to where instead of being a depositor to the sports book, now they're actually making money from the sports book. So that is awesome to hear. I hope the podcast, again, only gets better as we move along. And so thank you. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. You've made the Go Fast and Win podcast what it is today. I would also like to extend a special thank you to Mitch Moss and Paul Howard over at VSiN. If it wasn't for them, none of you would know about the Sharp Plays or obviously be listening to the podcast right now. Years ago, Mitch Moss and Paul Howard covered content that the Sharp Plays was doing on first period NHL totals, putting out betting volume for those markets. And then all of a sudden, because of following the first period NHL totals, there was this one guy at one of the books that I was covering who constantly was fading every first period over that Mitch Moss and Paul Howard talked about. And it was just odd. It was this run that was going on where all these first period overs were hitting. And for overs and unders, I should say. So first period totals were hitting based on different trends. And all of a sudden, I reported, look at this guy. He's actually betting against everything. Did not think anything of it. And yes, that person was Mr. Poison. Mitch Moss nicknamed him Mr. Poison. And following along with him, with Mr. Poison as he went along, he was betting all sorts of other things too. And I would cover, you know, he'd take Edmonton on the puck line, on the first period line, on the money line, and Edmonton would like get smoked 5-0, you know, for the game. He'd lose all those bets. It was fascinating. And then that year, Mr. Poison ended up going 4-28 against the spread for his March Madness picks. And, you know, when, of course, everybody loves betting March Madness. So to have someone who is this incredible fade during March Madness was just awesome. The one thing that really stands out to me, I'll never forget it, is he had Gonzaga moneyline one game, and I want to say they were -400 or -500. Gonzaga loses outright. It was nuts. And it is that springboard that put the Sharp Plays on the map. Without that, I don't know if the Sharp Plays would be here. And it's funny because it's one of those things that timing is everything. If Mitch Moss doesn't pick up on the coverage that I'm doing for the first period totals that they were talking about, because I would listen to the show every day and then I'd follow up with the betting volumes and just put it out there for anyone interested. If he doesn't report on Mr. Poison, it's a whole other story. The Sharp Plays probably just fades away and I'm sitting at the beach right now reading a book and listening to the radio and listening to VSiN perhaps. So to have started there with VSiN, and now today, for those of you who still listen to VSiN, it's, you know, you hear the Win Some, Lose Some, sponsored by the Sharp Plays. It's just amazing to see what has gone on through the years now that, you know, the Sharp Plays had a small following, and now all of a sudden it's sponsoring Win Some, Lose Some, and obviously putting out a bunch of commercials on VSiN as well. It's totally flattering to hear Paul Howard, after the Win Some, Lose Some segment, he does a live read ad for the Sharp Plays. And it's, you know, Jeff and the crew at the Sharp Plays killing it. Here's what's going on, the AI, you know, and he goes through the whole live read. It's just awesome. So really thank you to those guys for putting the Sharp Plays on the map. Thank you to all of you for being part of the team throughout. And I know I've gotten long-winded here, but I just really want, on behalf of myself and everyone that's a part of the Sharp Plays team, thank you very much. And really, really appreciate your questions and everything that make this podcast what it is. So with that covered, the next thing that I want to get into is, because the Sharp Place has gotten so popular, which is flattering, we now have advertisers. So one of the things that I said is that if I ever had advertisers, they would have to be two things. One, I would be honest in the advertisement. I'm not going to read somebody's bullshit and just say, oh, this is the greatest company ever. I've never tried. I've never used them. Nobody at the Sharp Place has ever used them. So we're not going to cover companies like that. If we're going to have an advertiser, it has to be someone that we've, a service that we've used, a product that we've used, and that we like. And when we do that advertisement, we're going to tell you the good and the bad. So it's not going to be your conventional advertising, but obviously if we're advertising for them, it's a product overall that we like, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives. So beginning into that next, I'm just going to review the two advertisers that we do have now, possibly a third one coming on, but that won't be for next week or maybe into December. But when I actually do the ads every week, it's going to be a typical live read, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, something like that. But for this first one, as a thank you to these guys and these companies, for being a part of the Sharp Place, I want to give them a little extra. So just a review here. Hopefully the services, products are something you're interested in. If not, just I apologize for the time it takes. But the one thing that we're going to do with the advertising that comes into this podcast or into the Sharp Place is 100% of it is going back to you. It's either going to be in the form of giveaways. It's going to be the form of discounts. It's going to be the form of coupon codes. It's going to be a form, different things for the Sharp Place products and services itself, because of these advertisers. So we are not, as an organization, keeping any of the ad money. It's going to be put right back into the system to benefit all of you, because it's a thanks for all of you making the Go Fast and Win podcast and the Sharp Plays what it is today. So with that said, let's get into a quick overview on both advertisers really fast. Trust me, it's not going to take that long. And some of these you might be interested in, especially one of them will help you in your betting. So let's get into that right now. All right, so because this is the first week with sponsors, I want to do a little review on each company. I'll make it brief. I apologize for that, but I want to give you some background of the Sharp Plays experience with each, the ins and the outs. In the future, these ads are going to be a 30 to 60 second live read like you'd hear on any normal podcast or radio station, but because this is the first episode with these two sponsors, I want to give you a little extended review of each. The first company is one that you've probably heard of or seen many times. They've been advertising for through the years on CNBC. You've perhaps heard them on Bloomberg Radio. They are Citadel Computing at citadelcomputing.com. They are the service that provides the Sharp Plays with the EFX mail service that we use, and where most of you have seen the Citadel brand perhaps and its connection to the Sharp Plays is when you purchase something at TSP.live, the Sharp Plays uses EFX payments for processing. So on your credit card statement, it'll say either EFX payments or it'll say Citadel Computing, something to that effect. If you've always wondered what that is, they handle all the credit card processing. They do crypto processing. They do check processing. They specialize in high-risk businesses. So if you have an adult service business, or you are in some sort of high-risk industry like subscriptions, or you sell supplements, you know, all those can, a lot of standard credit card processors don't want to deal with them. So that's where EFX payments comes in. If you go to citadelcomputing.com, along with the list of their services and everything that they do have some use cases. So for example, let's say you are Susie Cute Toes and you do a foot fetish business. Well, you don't want a bunch of degenerate guys who heard your ad showing up at your house because they Googled you on your, you know, where is your domain name registered? And they see that Susie Cute Toes lives in, Los Angeles, California at 123 Main Street. So now you get a bunch of guys showing up at her house to see her barefoot in the backyard or to try to steal her shoes off the porch or something like that. You want to have protection if you are Susie Cute Toes. I do not know if there is a real adult model by that name, but let's just roll with it for this. So as you can see on their website, they have adult entertainment businesses as one of the examples of companies they work with. They say these businesses face intense scrutiny, banking limitations, and stigma. Citadel provides anonymous corporate structures, protected payment processing, and secure communication systems. So Susie Cute Toes, I added that myself, can operate safely and professionally without exposure. So, you know, it's for unique businesses, politicians, journalists, media personalities. It's not, you know, if you own a small restaurant or bar, you probably don't have a need for a service like Citadel. But a lot of businesses nowadays do. I mean, even you look at these, you know, like a Charlie Kirk situation. Are you guys getting shot? I mean, granted, that was in public, but you know, people are showing up at politicians' houses, they're showing up at journalists' houses, they're, you know, doing all kinds of crazy shit. You don't want to deal with that. So you use a service like Citadel, they become your frontline defense to that bullshit, and then you can, you know, operate a little safer. Again, Susie Q Toes does not want some guy coming over her fence to look at her toes while she's sitting by the pool. So go to CitadelComputing.com today. Check out the services. Hopefully they can help you. I will say, as I promised, these reviews, I was going to highlight the good. The good, use Citadel for everything. And a special shout out to their virtual assistant services. Once you're a client of theirs, they have a bunch of different like add-on services that you can get. One that the Sharp Plays uses is their virtual assistant service. It is awesome. I had no plans to go to the Florida Ole Miss game this past weekend, but on a whim, I just thought, you know what? It's going to be a good game. It's the last home game. Kiffin might go to Florida. This could be really exciting. I want to get out there. So I was out and about, wasn't at the computer. It wasn't easy to get everything scheduled, like a tent and the catering and all the stuff that it takes to tailgate properly in the Grove and to get there in the first place. So I sent a message to the personal assistant for the Sharp Plays, and said, looking to get to the Grove, need this many tickets, need parking, need a tent, need this kind of food, need this, that, the other thing, hotel, et cetera, et cetera. Sent it to them. They handled everything, took care of all of it, paid for everything, and then they send you an invoice. So the Sharp Plays gets an invoice for all this stuff, whatever it is that they purchase on your behalf. They charge you a fee based on what they purchased, small, maybe 0.5% or 1%, depending on what they're doing. And then they charge you a per hour rate for their virtual assistant services. So it worked out beautifully. They had nothing to do. The fee was not that bad, but I will say, and this is where the downside of the service comes in, they are expensive. Not necessarily on the virtual assistant services, because that's something that's sort of an add-on, so you're just paying, you know, a little bit of a premium there. When you sign up, you do pay a retainer. They do have minimums for what the work they're going to do for you. For example, if you're looking to do $2,000 or $3,000 worth of work with them, they're probably not for you. If you're looking to, you know, Susie Cute Toes that I've been talking about here, she's got a great foot fetish business. She's making a couple $1 million a year. That's, you know, she wants protection. That's where Citadel kind of comes in and is a better fit. If you're running a $5,000 or $10,000 adult website selling your underwear, it's probably not going to work for you. But that's the only thing that I can say negatively, or, you know, not, you know, in a positive light for Citadel Computing. Check them out today, CitadelComputing.com. Thank them very much for their support, because once again, any ad revenue that comes in from these sponsors is going to go back to all of you, 100% of it going back to the Sharp Plays audience. The other sponsor for the Go Fast and Win podcast is probably a company that you've also heard about if you've spent any time in the sports betting industry lately or listening to different shows, and it is ProfitX. Very happy to have them as a sponsor, because I know that a lot of you were interested in me doing a review of their service, and it just kind of came together perfectly that they reached out. And I reviewed the service for a couple weeks. I know a lot of you wanted me to do a review, so here's my review of the service, along with they're a sponsor now. So ProfitX is not a sports book. And I said that the Sharp Plays would never advertise for sports books, because how dirty is it when a service that's trying to sell you information so that you can win sports bets is also like, hey, buy our information and go bet it over at DraftKings. Why? Because they get a kickback of how much you lose. That's some bullshit, really. You know, you don't want to be, it's a dirty situation. Doesn't look good. It's, I would say, a conflict of interest. But so never we're going to advertise for a sports book. And unfortunately, in this sports gaming space, that's the primary advertisers that are throwing money around to podcast providers. So it is nice to have a company that is not a sports book. ProfitX is a sports betting exchange. So you go up today and you're interested in betting the Houston Texans over the Buffalo Bills. You put that in. If your bet gets matched, it's not matched by the house. It's matched by a bettor that wants to take Buffalo. So you're taking Houston, they're taking Buffalo. The two you match up. The odds are typically better than what you would find at traditional sports books. And this is working out beautifully for today's review, which is yesterday. I sent out the alert for the group buy on Arizona in college basketball. So there was a sports betting group, for those of you not in TSP Live, that bet Arizona as a large move. They took Arizona +6.5, and they took Arizona +6. after that action dropped, the entire market was down to 5.5 or 5. I was able to go on ProfitX and max out at Arizona plus 7.5. The price was 2.5 points higher at ProfitX than it was anywhere else in the market. So, you know, from a standpoint of looking for value, they can definitely be a great option. And I was able to get a substantial amount down on Arizona at that price. They also have started to get into parlays now. Parlays are a big thing at the sharp plays. It's something I'll get into during the mailbag segment of this. They can do parlays. I will say the negative there is that when it comes to parlays, sometimes the limit that you can get down is around $500, sometimes $1,000, maybe $3,000, depending on what games and bets you're looking to match up. They need to then match you with another side of that on their end as part of being the exchange. They're basically trading on what you're putting in, but it is you against other bettors. Their parlay service, it's excellent. If you are a smaller bettor, if you're a larger bettor looking to get down, you know, $2,000, $5,000 consistently on parlays, it's probably not going to work out for you. But if you want to get some pizza money down, you want to mess around with parlays, they have a great parlay service. And again, you get the benefit of their quality pricing. So ProfitX, sports betting exchange, you probably heard about them in a variety of different places. You've wanted me to do a review. There is my review. It is a worthy service to have in your pocket. And they operate in a lot of states where traditional sports betting domestically does not operate. For example, Mississippi does have legal gambling casinos and I believe sports betting at their casinos, but they do not have more mobile sports betting. I was in the Grove on Saturday, able to bet college football on ProfitX without any problem. So it can be an option for those of you in states where you don't have legalized sports betting. It doesn't make ProfitX illegal. They've been able, kind of like when they started selling CBD around of 10 years ago or whatever it was, they found some loopholes that allow them, because they're an exchange and not a sports book, to operate in most states. So check it out today. Use the referral code TSP. If you sign up, use the referral code TSP. They give you 20% back on your opening deposit up to $100. So check them out today. ProfitX, use the referral code TSP. You don't have to use the referral code TSP, I'll be honest with you. But if you do, then the sharp plays gets tracked for your sign up and gets a bonus for you signing up as part of the sharp plays team and for hearing this ad. And 100%, I will say it again, of all the ad money that goes through these, that comes from these two sponsors, will be going back to you as the customer. It will either be going out as just cash giveaways at times, it will go out as discount codes, it will go out as coupons, it will go out to cut the cost for you of our services. So if you are going to sign up, please take the time to put in those three letters TSP as your referral code. You can also go to tsp.live/x. It'll redirect you to the ProfitX website and automatically fill in that TSP referral code for you. Again, I will have more to cover on ProfitX as we move along and as I use the service more and more. I've been doing it for about 2 weeks, but I have been very pleased with what they have to offer. And I think for most bettors out there who are betting $50, $100, $250, they'll be a great option for you. Great pricing, easy to get the action down. And you also have the ability to put in whatever price you want and see if anybody takes the other side of it. So check it out today. ProfitX, thanks to both our sponsors, Citadel Computing at citadelcomputing.com, ProfitX at ProfitX.co. They also have an app in the App Store. You can download the app and sign up that way. Just, we ask you to please use the referral code TSP so that we can get tracked for that sign up, and that money will be going back to all of you. Now let's get into the mailbag section for today's podcast. For this week's mailbag section, I have a bunch of different questions that people brought in, statements, things they wanted me to expand on. So I'm going to dive into those. The first one is, there's been a lot of talk about sports being fixed and a lot happening with all this prop discussion and these different scandals that have been going on in college basketball, NBA, et cetera, et cetera. Is it widespread? I would say that it is more widespread today than it was in the past. And to me, the reason that it is due to props and prop limits. If you are a loser, and as the sharp plays, we want to use you as a beard to get action down for us, if you're a loser, you could get $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on a prop. That is unheard of, and it was always unheard of in the sports betting industry. If you bet in Las Vegas, if you bet offshore, you'd be lucky to get $3,000 down on a prop. Well, now, because these people can get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 down on a prop, it kind of makes it easy to cheat because, you know, it's not worth it for an MLB ploy. Can't even speak right now. It's not worth it for an MLB player to fix a game or to, you know, throw a certain pitch or something like that for a bettor to win $3,000 and for that pitcher to get $1,000 out of it. But when people can start dropping $50,000 or $100,000 or across multiple sports books, they can get a couple hundred thousand dollars down on props. Now it becomes more lucrative, especially, sure, to those low-end MLB players who are coming up or don't really have high expectations for their career. Yeah, it's really easy to get sucked into that. It happens, obviously, in college basketball. It's tough to get college props on individual players because those are so easy to fix and college players looking for money. I think the NIL has helped to prevent that because back in the day, yeah, college basketball players would throw games. They would shave points because getting $1,000, $2,000 was a fortune back then. You didn't get paid. So I think there definitely was fixes back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I'm talking 10, 15, 20 years ago. You would see them. When I was working offshore, you would definitely see unusual action on weird teams and it would get hit from a bunch of accounts. And some of the accounts would be new. Like all of a sudden, five people opened a new account so they could bet Samford plus 28 or something over UNC. You know, there's easy stuff that it's very simple to spot. And that's why I think sports betting adds a level of transparency, can help find these things and root it out in the business, simply because it's so easy for a book, and especially nowadays with the software and the bots and the algorithms that can pick up on these things, to spot unusual activity. So I would say that it is more widespread now because of how gambling has proliferated around the country, and especially because of those prop limits. You never could get that kind of money down in the past offshore on props. But DraftKings, FanDuel, if you're a loser, they'll take whatever they can get from you out of props. But that then sets them up for these individuals. So you might have 40 Mr. Poisons who are dropping a shitload of money on props, you know, $10,000, $5,000, $20,000 here or there. But there might be three out there that are Mr. Poisons, but now they get contacted by the mob or they get contacted by these players to, hey, can you get this action down for me? Or I'll give you half or whatever their deals happen to be. And the books, you know, it gets mixed in with other action. They see them as losers. But eventually, over time, because greed kicks in and people don't just stop after the first one, they got to go for the next one, the next one, the next one. They get greedy and then it all falls apart. So I do think more of this will come out. I think back in the day when you had the NBA officiating scandal, you know, and oh, there was some suspect stuff that went on with other officials that never got roped into it that are still officiating today. And it's kind of like things got swept under the carpet. So you did have those scandals before. But I think nowadays it's so easy. You don't need a lot of coordination. You just need to know the pitcher or the NBA player and be a friend of his and just say, hey, man, could you do me a favor and just get injured in the third quarter? Try not to score a lot. You'll play next game, you'll play whatever, but I can make 50 grand and that'll really help my family out. I'll give you 10 grand for help me. You can go Spurs or whatever you want to do. And they're doing it because it's simple and it's easy and it's quick money. I'm surprised at some of the people that have gotten roped into these different gambling scandals, given how much they were making, but it goes to another point that I always brought up. And I don't mean for this to be about the sharp plays, but like TSP Insiders or even TSP Live, people always used to say, oh, if you're making so much money gambling, why would you ever sell content? You know, why would Tony want to sell a selection or Wolf or whatever if they're making so much money? It's the exact same thing that you see in this gambling. Who doesn't want more money? If you have something that you can monetize, why not monetize it to the fullest? So if Wolf goes out there and bets, you know, X amount of money on whatever team this week in college football, why wouldn't he want to make 10% more, 5% more, whatever more, by then selling that information to other people who can also profit from it? And that's kind of like what goes on in this gambling thing. Some of these guys are multimillionaires and they're playing around with $20,000, $30,000 props and they're getting 10 grand out of it. Why would they do that? Why? Because people love money and they get sucked in by money. It's attractive. That's the reason. You wonder why handicappers sell picks? Well, for some of them, they just suck at gambling, so they need money and they, you know, go out and sell picks to try to get money. For other people, like those at the sharp plays where we actually make a profit, the reason is why not? It still has value. The information still has value. You put it out there to people who are interested in it. Everybody can make money along the way, and who doesn't like money? So I do think it is more widespread. I think the solution is very simple. You do what happened offshore. When it comes to props, you lower the limits. You lower the limits to $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 at most, and you're going to get rid of a lot of this. Because even though, like I just said, these players like money, they're not going to do it for $1,000. They're not going to ruin their career for $1,500. But $20,000 here, $50,000 there, $20,000 there, $10,000 there, it starts to add up, and it can be very enticing for them. So if you lower the limits on props, you solve the problem. What about when it comes to fixing the actual games? That can be far more complicated, because I remember back in the day, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a Notre Dame kicker that tried to fix games, and, you know, I think they hit like 60%. Even when they were fixing the NBA games, they were hitting like 70, 80%. So it's not 100% thing. And there are other issues, and people find out, and it eventually breaks down. But when it comes to college basketball, you're seeing a lot of these kids getting caught up in it now. You know, it can still happen at that level. I do not think NFL games are fixed. I do not think, you know, most NBA games are fixed. I think it's a lot less rampant than people think it is, but it definitely goes on. One of the ways to get rid of it, get rid of those, you know, lower the limits on props. When it comes to the sides, it's easy to spot unusual action. A team like Kentucky or Duke in college basketball is not fixing a game. But if you're getting unusual activity on Delaware, that all of a sudden people want these big bets and limit action, that's going to raise a red flag immediately and, you know, get caught rather quickly. So it's still going to be tried a lot, but I think it'll get caught very simply, especially as books, computer systems become so much more advanced than we used to have back in the late 90s and early 2000s offshore. The next item that came up was someone, you've probably heard the John 3:16 biblical phrase. You know, people hold up the signs when they used to kick field goals. And even nowadays, John 3:16, it's a biblical passage. I won't get into it. I know people don't like religion offhand or want to hear about it. So someone had said there should be Jeff 3:16, and it should be, you have to be emotionally disconnected from every single bet. And it is a very important point that I bring up. A lot of people talked about it this week. And my point is, why get emotional? You know, people got emotional over me talking about in-play on Saturday because Saturday was cold. Now, Sunday friggin' more than offset Saturday, but Saturday was cold. And my point is, I don't wallow in misery. I don't wallow in emotion. I look, how can I benefit from what went on, and how can I find ways to profit, to cut losses, to generate a return? And in-play was a great idea on Saturday. And it brought up, again, emotional bettors. And one of the things I said was you have to be emotionally disconnected from every single bet. You put in a bet, win or lose, don't get crazy about it. If you win, yeah, all right, nice job. Woo, we won. If you lose, damn, that sucks. Well, on to the next one. That's as much emotion as you should get, and you move on to the next bet. Because if you're getting emotional over a loss, then your mindset is still fucked up about gambling. Because when I lose a bet, I know that money's coming back eventually. I don't know when. Maybe it'll come back on the next bet. Maybe it'll come back tomorrow. Maybe it'll come back next week. Maybe it'll come back next month. It always comes back. So why am I going to throw a tantrum and break stuff and go crazy and, you know, get in the car and, I don't know, hit a tree or some bullshit when the money's coming back? So relax. Just move on to whatever else you're doing. Go read a book. Go watch TV. Move on to the next bet. So Jeff 3:16, you have to be emotionally disconnected from every single bet. Another question I had, job openings at the sharp plays. Right now, there are none. And everyone that works at the sharp plays is kind of knows one another. So there's a trust there. It's obviously tough to get new people into a business like that. So there could be a time that it comes up. If there ever is, it'll be discussed on Telegram, on Twitter. Keep an eye out for that. It hasn't yet, but you never know what the future holds. I do not write anything off. The staff here at the Sharp Plays never writes anything off. So you don't know what the future holds. It could happen. If you're interested in job openings, know there are none now, but there could be coming up in the future. Another question someone brought up is regarding in-play. I talked a lot about in-play last week, and it actually played out very strongly on Saturday where pregame sucked, but in-play ended up turning a profit, which was rather awesome. And that's kind of how it tends to be. When content is running cool in October, for example, on Saturday, the in-play targets tend to hit at a very high rate and they tend to perform very well. So yes, for those of you asking if in a cold run, would I look to just play in-play? Absolutely. The team and I at the Sharp Plays are looking at a strategy for using in-play when the TSP index is trending down, when we believe we're in the midst of a cold run, concentrating more on in-play versus pre-game wagering, because it really makes a big difference and it gives you a lot of different flexibility. When you lock in a pre-game angle and you're in a cold run, well, you're stuck with whatever you have. When you're in play, you can see how the team is performing. Are they winning? Are they losing? Are they getting killed? How do they look? Are they losing because of bad luck? Are they losing because of bad play? And you can say, you know what? It's a cold run and this team looks like shit. I'm not touching them at all. So you didn't touch them pregame and now you're just saying, I'm going to pass in play. Because during the October cold run, there were a lot of guys that just stopped betting. They just took a break. They're like, why am I playing around during a cold run? I see it's a cold run. I know it's a cold run. Why am I plugging along betting every day? Yeah, there are, you know, benefits to that. Now, obviously, if, you know, one of the things that you run into, and this is why we tend to have ongoing content, even in cold runs, ongoing graded content, is because what you saw this past weekend. Saturday, cold pregame, nothing exciting. But you probably saw on Saturday, and this will get to another question that some people sent in, which was regarding parlays, is on Sunday, used parlays, two parlays cashed, over 6% return for TSP portfolio on those parlays. Massive gain, massive return, easily washed away Saturday and provided a very juicy profit on top and has us sitting at a nice cushion of profit for November, all because it was so cold on Saturday that we got immediate progression on Sunday and it just, and the content just killed it because of it. And a lot of times I've talked about parlays as a good wagering tool. Yes, they are sucker bets. People talk about it, but that's because 97-98% of people are suckers. I think in the notes that I got from Profit X when it came to their sponsorship thing, they said that 46% of their users are profitable versus just 2% of users at a sportsbook being profitable. So at a sportsbook, 98% of people are net losers. Only 2% win. And so yes, parlays are provide an even bigger advantage for the sports book against you. But if you're a winning bettor and you're using parlays, they can be an excellent strategic tool. They're a leveraged wager. They can be low risk. And as we saw this past Sunday, when the content turns the corner and gets into progression, often those hit very rapidly and you get some in succession. And that's where the rollovers come in. I don't know why I used rapidly in the last section. It didn't really fit there, but we'll keep rolling on here. But that's why rollovers tend to work in a cold run. You know, you better roll over, it loses. You better roll over, it loses. You better roll over, it loses. And then finally, the cold run turns into a hot run. And so you're getting a concentration of winners for a period of a day, couple days, maybe even a week or more. And really cash in the rollover. So you might lose 0.25 units here, 0.2 there, 0.3 there, 0.25 there, 0.1 there, 0.2 there. And then all of a sudden you connect on a rollover that turns 0.2 units into 1.2 units because you cash a parlay. Then you turn that 1.2 units on a straight bet, gets you to 2.2 units. And then you do one more straight bet and all of a sudden you got four units, 4% return, wipes out anything that happened in the cold run and gets you moved forward. It's how you take advantage of the ebb and flow in this business. Parlays, rollovers, in play is definitely something that's worthwhile concentrating on in a cold run, potentially to the extent that you stop pregame betting altogether. Another question that came in was, did I hear about Morgan Freeman suing people who are using his voice? Now, if you were a follower of the Go Fast Win podcast, used to do the voice of fake Morgan Freeman, would say that it was fake Morgan Freeman because legally we had to. Some people are just saying it's Morgan Freeman, and obviously that's illegal because you can't misrepresent whatever you're doing as actually Morgan Freeman. So that's why when we used to do the podcast, it was, you know, coming at you, your favorite degenerate fake Morgan Freeman, and then, you know, we continue on in that way. So yes, I have seen that. It is kind of funny. It is interesting, the connection to the Sharp Plays. The other interesting connection is Morgan Freeman is a very big booster of the Ole Miss basketball program. So the whole Ole Miss connection and having Morgan Freeman there and the Go Fast and Win podcast, it was kind of funny last year as to how that used to work out. The last question that I'm going to get into today, and then I'll cover the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, is going to be the allocation and liquidity for wagering when it comes to sports like NBA or college basketball versus the NFL. And the reason this is a question is a lot of times the NFL and college football tend to outperform the standard, you know, Wednesday wagering of NBA and college basketball. It is true, but then there are a lot of caveats in that. For example, last night we had a great group buy on Arizona. It pushed the line down, but it was a phenomenal group buy, and Arizona went outright. I'm pretty sure they led the entire way. So it was a real easy win. They were getting five even in their worst case. They covered it no problem. They won the game outright. So there are those opportunities that should be bet like they are NFL games, but is there something to betting more on an NFL game than you would on an NBA game if everything else is the same? For example, if it's a 1% wager for TSP portfolio, and if both of these are, you know, Hermes 35 scores, do you bet more on the NFL than you do on the NBA?
For me, I would say that you bet the same no matter what. Now, of course, it is harder to get action down on college basketball than it is NFL football. And I think this answer has probably two parts. If you're a smaller bettor, your liquidity in being able to bet college basketball is not a problem. If you're out there putting $50,000, $100,000 down on an NFL game, yeah, it's very difficult to get $100,000 down on, you know, UCLA total on a Friday afternoon or Friday evening or something like that in college basketball. It's not going to happen. You know, you really would have to spread around to about 100 different books to get $1,000 down here and 500 there and 2,000 there and everything else to build up a proper position. Whereas if you're betting an NFL total, it's no problem to get $100,000 down. It's no problem to get $100,000 down on a side. Sometimes you only need a book or two to be able to get that action down. So in premise, yes, the content when it comes to football is going to be stronger and could thereby warrant a greater amount of betting given the same parameters as a college basketball total. But I'm going to consider that a more advanced strategy because it takes a lot of mathematical assessment when you're placing the wagers, when you're looking at your bankroll. And I think it's something that I'm going to make a note of, and I'm going to try to put together an idea and a strategy for next week. I want to give an answer this week because people had asked about it. And my answer would be yes, NFL is going to perform profitably. College football will perform profitably. Every sport at the sharp plays has shown to be profitable over time. Some are better at it than others. So if you're getting more action down on an NFL game, and it's the same parameters. So what I mean by the same parameters is you have an NFL game that has a Hermes 38 score, and it's a 1% play for TSP portfolio. Most people would put 2.2% on that wager to win 2% based on it being a Hermes play and portfolio. If that same risk breakdown in TSP Live was in NCAA basketball on a total, so you have a Hermes 38 score on an NCAA basketball total, and you have a 1% portfolio play on that NCAA basketball total, that's the same, 2.2% to win 2%, but it's tough to get down. So you may find yourself putting down, let's say you're a 10,000 per unit player, you may find yourself putting 22,000 to win 20 on that college basketball total, which is going to take some work, and you may end up putting 55,000 to win 50,000 on the NFL game, even though they're both the same. Both have, both the college basketball total and the NFL game have 1% portfolio risk, and both are 30 to 39 scores for Hermes, thereby warranting a 1% or one unit wager. They're both the same, but since all of them are going to show profits over time, it's okay to bet more on the NFL. You just have to understand the risk there. You know, obviously there could be a month where college basketball outperforms NFL in the short term, and so you're losing money because you're more aggressive on NFL than you are on college basketball than everyone else or the way the TSP Live performance is grading out. But because over time, the content wins across all sports, wins in the end, it's going to shake out. So yes, there will be months where because of your style of betting more aggressively on the sports with better liquidity, like NFL, college football, NBA, that's going to maybe give you a negative month, one month, whereas everybody else who's following TSP Live for smaller amounts is turning a profit because maybe college basketball bailed out football that month. But in the end, eventually football is going to perform positively. College basketball is going to perform positively. So if you're wagering more on NFL, NCAA football, NBA than you are on college basketball, in the end, you're probably going to come out ahead and be just fine with that more aggressive strategy based on liquidity. But in the short term, anything is possible. So that's what you have to accept. Can you accept the short-term fluctuations in your personal wagering compared to TSP Live versus in the long term, you're going to make more money anyways. So something to think about. I'll get more into it next week because this episode's gotten long enough, but I hope that helps give you an initial thought process on this question, which a couple of you have asked.
So let's wrap up the episode this week. We got a win last week. The My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year cashes last week. South Carolina almost got the outright win over Texas A&M. It brings the record this season to 4-5 for the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. So this week could be the week we get back to 500, and then we can run forward into the green. Now, I did get some questions as to what is the schedule going to be like for the Go Fast and Win podcast moving forward here. My plan is to have it, there will not be an episode next week with Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Nobody's looking to listen to a podcast. I know some of you will. I appreciate the diehards out there. So no episode next week, but there will be an episode the following week, and it'll probably carry through bowl season into January. Then we'll make some decisions at that point. It will then come back for March Madness. So if there is a break after the football season, usually the schedule for the Go Fast and Win podcast would follow what we did with the newsletter, the TSP newsletter that used to go out. That's been since replaced by this podcast. And the newsletter would typically run through to Christmas, and then that would be it for the year, and it would return in August. With the podcast, we're thinking of going into January with the content here and then taking a break until March Madness, do it through the month of March, and then come back in August to start football season again, you know, in the summer and the spring. As I said about Thanksgiving week, I'm sure there'll be plenty of you diehards that would be listening, but it's just better to do it when there is the full audience interested in the content. So that's the plan. No episode next week. Probably take a break in January at some point and then come back for March Madness. But let's get into this week's My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. Let's get a win. And I am going with TCU plus the points over Houston. TCU is in one of those situations, and for those who have been with the Sharp Place for a while, you remember what was known as the second game Robin Hood angle. This past weekend, TCU was getting money over BYU. TCU looked like total shit. TCU has been getting some sharp support in recent weeks, and I think they will come back this week. They already have. Sharps have bought this down from 2.5 down to 1 on TCU. I hate to chase a price, but my numbers and analysis on this game have TCU winning outright by 4 to 6 points. So I don't think the point spread matters, but you know, I mean, don't get crazy on it because we aren't getting an optimal price here. If you're looking at it from an in-play perspective, that's not a bad way to go. The best price out there was 12.5. So that means your in-play cushion is 5.5. So you have the 2.5 for TCU plus the 15.5 point cushion gets you to 18 points. And then you always want to have the hook when you're betting in play. So 18.5 is the target here. Sounds like a high number. It may not ever get reached in the game, but a lot of these do. As you saw last week, there were some pretty large targets, 21.5. I think there was a 25 for one of the games out there, and the targets got hit. So it does happen. Keep that in mind if you don't want to touch the pregame or chase the price here, but I'm fine with it because I think TCU gets the outright win. It's the next game Robin Hood angle. And I think that Houston is a little more overrated than they should be in this spot. They're ranked, TCU isn't. So I think that's given some market perception and drawing in some public money on Houston, which I always love to go opposite of because I don't blindly fade the public, but I love a situation where the public is all on one side on an overrated team over what is potentially an underrated team. Because last week, the reason the next game Robin Hood angle tends to work is because it means in the previous game, that team usually got the shit kicked out of them. So they are, if they were undervalued there and Sharps liked them, they're probably going to be even more so undervalued this week after getting beat up bad. And I believe that is the case with TCU. Combine that with Houston being overvalued, and I think it's giving some really strong value pointing to TCU at this price. Because again, all the calculations that I have and I'm doing on the game point to TCU by 4 to 6 points. So there it is, My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, TCU plus the 1.5. About half the market is at 1, so shop around, get the 1.5. You never know when you need the hook. TCU plus 1.5 for this week. There is no Ole Miss game this week, so can't really cover that. The topic with Ole Miss is about whether Lane Kiffin stays or goes. I've said it many times. It's, you know, I have no inside information on this. I think Kiffin would be stupid to leave Ole Miss. I totally understand the desire for prestige at a Florida or an LSU. It's something you don't get at Ole Miss. But in today's modern game where you have NIL money and you can hire and bring in whomever and whatever you want, Ole Miss has a lot of money backing that program. And they will give Kiffin whatever he wants. I know personally boosters who are willing and ready to give six figures to the Ole Miss NIL fund, which is known as the Grove Cooperative. And they're looking to put that money in if Kiffin's staying to make sure that he has all the tools that he needs to succeed at Ole Miss. And I think, again, I'm biased. I'd like to see the guy stay at Ole Miss. But it's one of those situations to me where if you can make a national champion out of Ole Miss, that's incredible for your resume to show that you took this program that was always a middle of the road. They get into some good bowl games. Obviously, they had great players through the year, through the years, you know, Eli Manning being perhaps the most well-known recently, but, you know, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, they've had a lot of good players come through. They've gotten a lot of good attention, but this could take the program to the next level. And I think if Kiffin can pull it off, it'll look a lot better than if he did it at an easier, quote, easier school like LSU or Florida. So I think there's a greater chance that he stays. I hope he stays. LSU is going to throw every dollar they can at him. So if it is about money, no, he's gone. He's going to LSU. I think he's moved on for Florida for some reason because there's a lot of talk about Florida starting to call other coaches. So I think right now, if it's between any teams, it seems like it would be LSU and Ole Miss, but I'm reading a lot of tea leaves to try to figure this out. So that's my take on it this week. There's no Ole Miss game to handicap. Next week, Ole Miss does play in the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State. The line is around 9.5 right now. It's tough. My handicap of that game is really something I'm going to put out next week because it's going to depend on what Kiffin does. If he gets the hero's welcome and all this posturing and sending the family to Gainesville and to Baton Rouge is really just Kiffin playing a game and kind of trolling everything, then I think he could pull off the hero's welcome of early next week saying, I'm staying at Ole Miss. We're going to win a championship here. I'm going to make this program great. It's going to get everybody fired up. I may lead to Ole Miss at that point. I could see him just grinding the shit out of a Mississippi State team that is been getting beaten up a lot lately. But the problem is Mississippi State in the last 2 weeks has gotten very good sharp support. So I am concerned about that angle. Mississippi State is sneaky good under the hood in their stats. They just don't pull off the wins or the covers. And that's a team that you really don't want to fade a lot. So it's going to depend on what goes on with Kiffin next week. If he leaves, I would lean more to Mississippi State because I think there's going to be some chaos there. I think Ole Miss still wins the game, but I think it could be a lot closer than the 9.5. So taking Mississippi State with the points would be the play. If Kiffin is staying, I'm still mixed on the game, but I would probably lean to Ole Miss getting the cover there. Just the way that I'm looking at it now. But again, I'll update you on Telegram, Twitter next week once we see what's going on there. And that is going to do it for this week's episode. I thank you very much for your patience. There was a lot to cover this week. I'm sorry it wasn't perhaps a very exciting episode. There weren't a lot of groundbreaking things to get into for this week. But thank you for listening. Please check out the sponsors, CitadelComputing.com. Profit X, use the referral code TSP. When you sign up, get 20%. On your initial deposit, up to $100. Great lines out there. Definitely a service you want to look at. And at a minimum, just have as another out when you're shopping around for the best lines. Good luck this week. Cash those tickets. Thanks for listening. And thank you so much for making the Go Fast and Win podcast what it is today. Absolutely incredible. Over 5,000 downloads. Next stop, 25,000 downloads. Let's get it.